Lowe's knows you're the pro who does it right to find more ways to save because your business depends on it. We do it right, too, with savings every day, plus even more deals during our Spring Black Friday sale. Get $40 off 5-gallon buckets of select paint and stains via Lowe's gift card rebate. Buy three or more Purdy brushes and get 15% instant savings. And get up to 35% off select appliance special values. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Paint and stain offer valid through 410. Purdy and appliance offers valid through 417. Exclusions apply. See store for details. U.S. only.
Welcome. You are listening to the Watchman Alert Radio Network, broadcasting as a voice in the wilderness. This is Warn Radio, and I'm the Watchman, Dana Smith. Welcome to today's show. And we are living by faith in the whirlwind of the last days. Now stay tuned for a great show and line up today from Warn Radio. Welcome to Hour 2.
Welcome back to the second hour of Remnant Battle Lines with the Watchman in Tower. It's Thursday, the second day of August, 2018, and you are listening to Warn Radio. Tonight on the show, Part 9 of John's Gospel Witness to Jesus Christ, the True Vine. And now I welcome back the Watchman.
Thank you, Tower.
You're welcome.
We left off in John 15 and verse 18. And I want to, we're talking about the Lord in John 15 and his church, his people. They are to abide in him and abide in his word. And in that, they would bring forth fruit. The fruit would remain, and whatever you ask of the Father, he would give it to you. He talked about, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you want my love to abide in you, then keep my commandments. There is no doubt the way he tied this in there. But if we really think about this, what we are about to enter in now is the part where the world may not like you. Persecution and trouble. Now, you see, if we look at the life of Christ, you know, and the apostles as well, they did not ignore sin. They did not, you know, discount sin at all. Sin was despised. It's evil. It needed to be taken care of through repentance and the blood of Christ. There's, you know, sin will separate you from God. And so, when he met head on with the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the lawyers, the priests, they had their own idea, and he had his word that he was to give them. And of course, he met them head on. And many of them, he would call them snakes and vipers. They were of their father, the devil, who was a liar. He took a whip and drove the money changers out of the temple. He stood up, he testified. And the woman caught in adultery, he said, I don't condemn you, but go and sin no more. He warned people who had miracles not to sin, lest the worst thing come upon them. Now, the modern church is sin-friendly. It's in the world and of the world many times. So are the pastors, and, you know, you can call some of them hirelings, probably a lot of them. So we today need to understand what the truth is here. And I can guarantee you there are pastors on fire and know the truth. And there are congregations that know the truth. But the bottom line of it is when the fire of the Lord arrives, His perfection, His holiness, you'd better be right with Him. Because if you're not, you're going to be in trouble. So, verse 18, if the world hate you, know that it hated me before it hated you. And we saw that, we read that, we even teach that in the Gospels, what He went through. We went through Acts, and we know what the apostles went through. Do you really think you're so different? You have the name of Christ. Many churches have the name of Christ on their churches. And see, we want success in the church is looking like a professional corporation and the pastor's more of a president of a corporation. And everything is in order. They have their sociologists. They got their counselors. They've got everything in order. And they know how to make money. They know how to keep money. They know how to, you know, get you to give. Yeah. But being a success in the world as a church and having a big building does not mean that you know the Lord. That is the way we stack it up in today's society. When He comes again, He will burn through that with His holiness and purity. So you need to make sure that you are really serious about this and you're prepared, because the world, you may not think the world hates you, but sooner or later it will, because the world is ruled by the enemy of your soul. He says in verse 19, if you were of the world would love his own. Now see, as long as you're with the turkeys in Hollywood condemning Trump, hey, you're a good old boy or good old gal. But you try to side with Trump and you're an enemy. Now there are Christians and prayers, Christian prayers, that go on in the White House. And Trump did accept the Lord. Now, you can believe it or disbelieve it. It don't make a bit of difference to me. But I can tell you that there are many of them that hate anything Christian in politics. Because they want to have their abortions. They want to have their ways that they think are right. They don't like this one man, one woman marriage. They don't like the be ye holy for I am holy. And if you are going to tie in with the Lord, I got news for you. See, we have gone through 16 verses. The last one, the next to the last one that he gave us was, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you ask the Father my name, he may give it to you. And that whole first portion of that is about abiding in him and in his commandments. He told the Jews straight out. He says, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. And that's a whole line of teaching, actually talking to the Jews, telling them that he had come, that he was the Messiah. And they were ready to kill him because he had called himself the Son of God. So if you're going to sideline yourself and say, well, I'm a Christian, but yet, you know, I'm not going to follow this stuff, then you're going to be in trouble. The best way to keep yourself lined up is get back into the apostolic teachings, the doctrines. Get back to the early church. Get back and stay there. And stay away from modern, user-friendly churches that downplays the sin. Now see, you may think that a church is the place where sinners need to be, but see, that's the way we do it in the world. See, because we've screwed up the whole thing, because the word ecclesia is what we translate as church. It's the called out ones. And I can guarantee you, the called out ones of the Lord are not playing in sin and darkness and doing the things the world loves in that darkness. Now, of course, this doesn't mean you can't enjoy life. It doesn't mean that you can't have a farm, you can't have a house, you can't have a job. It doesn't mean those things. It just means that you need to understand what the word fruit means. And the word light means when we talk about the light. 1 John chapter 1. You have to walk in the light as he is in the light. And how you find that out is get into the word, study the word, and see what he did. Follow what he did, follow what the apostles did, follow what the early church did in these things. Because the bottom line of it is as a believer, believing in redemption, just redemption alone, that you need to believe in Jesus Christ, Yeshua. You have to receive him. He went to his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. He went to his own. His own received him not. But to as many as did receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. John 3. You must be born again of the Spirit. It's an operation through the Spirit of God. In Hebrews, we're told, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we must believe in him before we can receive him. And when you receive him, you get his Spirit, which causes you to be born again, because there's imputation of divinity, divine nature that enters into you to help you to live above the lusts of the world. As Christians, you can live above this. And all those churches that tell Christians, well, you can live certain ways and still make it to heaven is wrong. You know, even Paul said, you know, fornicators, adulterers, God is going to judge. Paul goes through the things you can't do in Galatians. And he went through this in Ephesians and Colossians, talking about the children of disobedience. You cannot do these things. And in America, the things that you think that you can do, and you have churches that tell you can do them, and you have pastors that are leading them churches, and they're telling you you can do them, you cannot do them. And that pastor and those who do those things are going to wind up in perdition, the destruction and judgment. Now see, this is the difference between the world hating you and loving you. See, if you get in a church and everything is okay, doesn't matter what it is, it doesn't matter what kind of sex you have, doesn't matter who you marry, doesn't matter nothing. You go to the church and you're a member and everything's hunky-dory and fine. But that ain't going to get you past God. And see, this is what the world hates. He goes on to say, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Now, I like that verse. And I've used that a lot. Because, you know, the bottom line of it is, if you want someone to keep your word or to listen to you, find out if they read the word of God and keep it. Because if you can find someone that listens to the word of God and they keep the word of God, they walk in it, then when you tell them to do something or tell them something and they agree to it, they're going to do it. But see, that servant, that disciple is not above his Lord. And see, we've gotten away with a lot of stuff in America for a lot of years because America has had a lot of Christianity. We've had the gospel preached. We've had a lot of altar calls given in this country. We've sent out a ton of missionaries. Even Erdogan calling us that evangelistic missionary Zionist type thing that he called us the other day when he was getting mad at Trump. That's true. America has sent out missionaries. We've sent out evangelists. Billy Graham, one of the biggest, went all over the place. David Wilkerson did the same thing. Many of them have. And we've sent them throughout the Middle East. We've sent them all over the world. And even today, although you may not see that many big-time evangelists going around, there is a lot of people, native pastors, native believers in persecuted areas that are seeing Muslims and others come to the Lord and doing it through miracles and signs and wonders. That's going on today. Because many of them Muslims want more than just some holy word and a God that wants you to go kill everybody and take over the world. They want to know. And when they find the love and the forgiveness in the gospel and the active participation of the Holy Spirit and miracles and signs and wonders, they grab a hold of it. But many of them are deceived. Many of them do not know. And many of them also may be Hindus as well, or Buddhists. They may even be in this country called America, and they may be, you know, just caught up in America and not know, not believe. But know this. You're either going to love or you're going to hate. The gospel is such. Now, in many churches, you have this lukewarmness to the gospel because you don't have the anointing and the gospel isn't preached and the glory of God is departed from your church. Yeah. Now see, the thing of it is, you need the fire of the Holy Ghost, you need the anointing, and you need a pastor, and you need people in there that know the Lord and actively walk in that anointing and believe. Because there ain't going to be any fire of deliverance. There ain't going to be any power of deliverance. What you're going to find is a lukewarmness and a religion that says anything goes, and it'll make you feel good, but it won't save your soul. Matter of fact, the devil has a demon to that effect, the spirit of religion. Make you feel mighty fine. But it ain't going to save you because he's left that part out. Religion ain't going to save you. Christ will save you. purify you. He will work in your life. Your Father will treat you as a son, as his own child. But see, just like Paul says, to some we're an aroma of death, and to others we're an aroma of life. We're an aroma of life to those who know us and know God and love God. And when we preach, it's life to them. They get excited and love it. And it is to me too. When I hear, the word, when I hear someone preaching it or something, and it's truly anointed, that's life. But there's people that'll listen and they will hear that, because they're not right with God. It's an issue of death. Especially if they've rejected it. And that's where the persecution will come in. And sometimes it's because of blindness. Now, Paul the Apostle persecuted the church under the name Saul until the Lord unblinded him, knocked him off his horse. See, that's what it takes. And we're seeing that today as well. But he says, but all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. And that's the truth. Many of them do not know the Father or the Son. They just do not. And sadly to say, we have a lot of that today in our America. He says that if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin, because he told them the truth. He revealed it to them. And he says, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. And to the Muslims who don't believe in Yeshua as the Savior, Jesus Christ, they don't believe that God has a Son. So they despise Jesus in that manner. They will not accept Jesus as the Son of God, Yahshua as the Son of God. Now they will accept him as a prophet. And when they do that, they end up hating Jesus as who he is, Yahshua, and hating the Father. And they're not saved. They're serving demons. They're serving a false god. They're serving Satan. Now see, that alone, if you were in some of these foreign countries, you said anything like that, they would put you up for death immediately. Iran, Pakistan, Turkey, yeah. So if you think this thing is just going to go away, it's not. If you think America can stay free, it isn't going to stay free like this. Because we're too divided. A house divided will not stand. Sooner or later it's going to fall if we do not heal. And there's nothing to heal us. That's the problem. There's no balm of Gilead, because this country's rejected the balm of Gilead. Your churches don't have it even. How many pastors, how many churches have stood up against this evil that we see in this country? How many of them sacrificed their own lives to stop it? Zilch. But if you get in some of these other countries, the people that follow Christ do so at their own risk and peril. It is so bad in some areas, they don't even want you to pray. You can't have your Bible out. You can't say anything. But God is able. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. And that's what happened. Now you see, the Lord Now see, David wrote this in Psalm 35:19. Let not them that are my enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. Now that's what David said, that they had hated him without a cause. He didn't do anything. There was no cause. Now the Lord quoted this very same scripture to illustrate that the Jews, their conduct and their treatment of him as the Messiah, the Son of God, was such that they hated him. And they had no cause to hate him. They just hated him. He didn't do anything wrong. He did not sin. He didn't commit sin. And in the same way today in this world, there are sinners, there are those that are contrary to the gospel of Christ and to Christianity, and they hate Christians without a cause. There's no cause. Christians didn't do anything, but they hate them, vehemently so. We've been reporting on this for years. Why do I talk about this? Because you as a Christian in America have been on pablum all your life. You're going to have to get off pablum, get off the milk, and get into the real meat of the gospel and understand that you are going to be entering into a time that it's going to take people that are in the meat and maturity of the gospel in order to make it through. You ain't going to make it otherwise. But the Lord goes on to say, and this is the comforting part. He says in verse 26, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And you also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. And the Comforter came in fullness on the day of Pentecost. And you can find that whole thing in Acts chapter 2 going forward. Now we're in John 16. These things I have spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. And folks, today I tell you this so you won't be offended. I don't want you to be offended when the time comes. I don't want you to be caught off guard. I want you to know that the Lord warned us about this, and he's made provisions for you. It's going to require faith. And as Paul told Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. This is not for the faint of heart. He goes on to say, and this happened to the apostles, okay? But it continues to happen today. They shall put you out of the synagogues. They did that with the apostles. They did that with the Lord. They did that to the people. There was a number of them, including the Sanhedrin, some of the members of the Sanhedrin who had believed on the Lord. They couldn't let anybody know that they really believed, you know. And because they had been put out of the synagogue. And that was the word that went out even when the Lord was teaching on the street. Nobody was to talk about him. Nobody was to follow him. Nobody was to speak of him, because they would put you out of the synagogue. But he goes on to say, yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you think that he doeth God service. Although this is in the same thing as the synagogues, well, you can follow this through the apostles in the early church, and you can see many times that the Jews that were persecuting, you know, the Christian Gentile believers. They would persecute them. They followed Paul around. They followed Peter around. By the time John was one of the last, I think he was the last one to actually die and perish. The apostles had been martyred. But the key here is whoever kills you will think that he does God's service. And we have that today with many Muslims, especially those jihadists, and even ISIS going through. And we have these same kind of jihadists in America training right now. And they think that they're doing their God a service when they kill Christians. And we see that around the world today. And it's not just Muslim, but it's Hindus, it's Buddhists and others. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father or me. And that's the reason why, even today. And as we go into this, they do not know the Father and they do not know the Lord. And of course, Paul warns us in 2 Thessalonians 2 that the world will enter a time when they will reject the love of the truth, which is the love of the Father, the love of the Son, and the gospel, which is full of love, because the Lord gave his life as a ransom for many. No greater love than these, he said, that a man lay down his life for his friend. And that's what the Lord did, and that represents the truest illustration of love there is in the gospel. That friend laying down his life for his other friend. And the Lord laid down his life for us. And see, the world doesn't understand that. But see, the thing of it is, we are entering into a time when they will reject that. They will receive another God who will declare himself to be God. He will stand in the temple of God. And miracles and signs and wonders will follow him. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, you see, I've divided these up. The son of perdition is named the son of perdition because of his role and what he does, which leads people into destruction. But he is of the same type and source as the beast in Revelation 13 and the second beast, who happens to be his false prophet. And they are directly descended out of the beast. That's why they're called the beast. They directly get their power from the dragon, the beast of Revelation. And so that tells you the source and the power and the scope of his possession of this kingdom, which is going to be global. And see, today we can see this around the world. We can see what's happening into America. But see, it doesn't mean you can't have peace. It doesn't mean that you can't enjoy life. It doesn't mean you can't plant a garden. You see, for a long time I've done videos. I haven't done any this year, but I call them Gardening in the Apocalypse. I've written articles like that. You know, we're in the end times. I call it the apocalypse. You know, that time of tough times. How can you garden? How can you go fishing? How can you enjoy life? How can you enjoy your family? How can you think about having kids? Because the Lord told us to occupy till he comes. He also told us as long as, you know, I mean, this thing is going to have harvest time and seasons, the sun and the moon and everything, clear up to the end. Of course, there's going to be time during the tribulation that a lot of the natural occurrences are going to be affected. You can find that in Isaiah's apocalypse, which I call it Isaiah 24. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? Now you see, the thing of it is, and that's the one thing about the Gospels, and the one thing about the Word of God, We are told these things so that when they happen, we will remember that the Lord has told us and we won't be offended. But there will be people that will be offended, Christians, because it didn't follow with what they thought it should be. He says, but now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I've said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart. He's getting them ready for the time, because he is going to be going away. He's going to be going to the cross, which he's going to be alone, and the shepherd is smitten, and the sheep will scatter. So this will scatter and cause tremendous panic and turmoil within the disciples. And they will go and hide. It'll be a time when Peter will deny him. And everything will look like the Jews have won. And the Lord will be in the earth for 3 days. This is the time of one of the biggest battles, when he gets the keys of death and hell from the enemy. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now you see, the Spirit of God, it's not like he was missing. He was there all the time. But the Comforter is this part of this dispensation of belief and the cross that allows the Comforter to be in the believers and to be with them all the time. And this is the important part of the new covenant. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He'll reprove, he'll expose. And so he's going to reveal it. That's what the Spirit of God does. When a preacher preaches, when a Christian gives their testimony, you know, he exposes the truth. And see, the thing of it is, it says he exposes sin and righteousness and judgment. Of sin, because they don't believe on him, and he's going to tell them the truth. You need to believe on me. Of righteousness, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and they need to repent. And because of that repentance and faith, they can come to know the Father. Of judgment, because if they fail to do that, they are going to wind up in a place they don't like. And see, all of this also says that when the Lord, the minute he was resurrected from the dead, it was over for the devil and his minions. They were judged. They were condemned. They knew from that point on that they've lost. But that doesn't mean they're going to stop. Not at all. But the thing of it is, this is why you can believe in divine healing and miracles and signs and wonders. This is why you can resist the devil and he will flee from you, because he's lost. See, the thing of it is that the Holy Spirit takes over the whole work of the gospel, because the Lord isn't here. He's in the presence of the Father, ever living to make intercession for the saints. And so as we go about in our life of serving him, the Spirit of God is there to help us to speak the truth, to give witness. In verse 12 he says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And so the Lord is the way, the truth, and the life. And the Holy Spirit and the Comforter is that one who comes and reveals the Lord. He takes the things of God and of the Lord and reveals them to us. He convinces us of the sin. He convinces us of righteousness as well. Because Christ both takes care of sin, and he will remove sin and death as well. But he also gives us righteousness. He gives us hope. He gives us healing. And the Spirit of God is that one comforter, that one ingredient that we have. So we have his presence. We have the Spirit of God. We have the Word of God. And so we're not left comfortless at all. And he shall glorify me in verse 14, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. Now see, he's telling them all this because he's getting ready to go through the cross. This is the time of darkness that is going to come. And he knows that it will have the power, but it's going to fulfill the Word of God. It's going to do what God wills it to do. And even this tribulation that's coming, this is heralding in the kingdom of our Lord. This is not the end. We're told when you begin to see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. To be honest with you, I want to live in God's kingdom. I don't care about living in America the rest, you know, of eternity. I want to be in the Lord's kingdom. I want to be with him, in him, found in him. And, you know, I want to walk with the other believers. I want to be able to talk to Moses and Abraham and the Lord. I want to be able to talk to Paul and Peter. I want to be able to talk to some of my kin as well that are there. And my dad and my in-laws and, you know, we'll be there together. Now you see, I seen a post the other day on the internet where it said that heaven, as most Christians believe, is not going to be that way. And this writer had his own interpretation and everything of it. I didn't read it. I don't care. Because it's just like you have people that say, well, Jesus is a black man. You have others that swear he's a white man. Jesus, to me, is the Son of Almighty God, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, my Savior and my Lord. That's who he is. If you want to see a white man, a black man, a purple man, that's up to you. That's racist. You can do whatever you want. And as far as heaven goes, it's going to be heaven. And we know a few things that are going to be there, but other than that, I ain't going to worry about it. In my Father's house are many mansions or dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, he says. He says, behold, I go away and I will come again and will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's all I need to know. I don't need to know every little detail. I don't care. All I need to know is, what do I need to do here to make sure I make it there? See, that's the important part for me. And you see, over the years, you know, I've really met some characters in the church. And I learned one thing. Don't look to man. Look to the Lord. You know, and that's what I do. Hey, he says in verse 16, a little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. And they did. You know, he went through all that, you know, the beatings and leading up to Calvary. Then he was put on the tree. Then he died and he was put in the tomb. And of course, while his body lay there, his spirit rose and took care of business in that realm as well. He led captivity captive. He got the keys of death and hell. And of course, many, of course, consider, well, if he's going to get the keys of death and hell, he has to go down to the devil to get them. But see, the one who holds the keys of death and hell are the Father. And he's guided by the law. And in the law, because the fall of man, man fell. And so the devil wound up with that death and hell on his side. And so because Christ went to the cross, he fulfilled everything. And he negated all of that, condemned the devil, and set everything right again, and put life back instead of death. And so he was able to get the keys of death and hell, the same way that he, in Revelation, we see him appearing as the Lamb slain. And he appears before the Father, and he's able to open the seals. This is the same thing here. That's in the spirit when you read that. That's how you see it in the spirit. And that was showing you that he did take care of that part. And of course, he came back, got in the body, got up, was resurrected, and he was able to appear and disappear. And he told the disciples, look, see here. And he told the doubting Thomas, touch my body, you know, touch my wounds, so that you will believe. He says, see that I'm not a spirit. See, and this is the important thing. And at the time, the Jews were warning the Romans that the disciples would steal the carcass and say that he was resurrected from the dead. But he was seen alive by many infallible proofs. We have the witnesses of the Jewish apostles, and they're not going to lie. And of course, the Jews would have laid out a number of lies themselves, including a number of false books and testimonies and things like that, that were laid out at the time or shortly after that in order to try to destroy this faith. And so even today, you can find some false testimonies and false books written by Emmanuel himself and others. Yeah. These are all lies, pseudepigrapha and other things that are just total fabrications and lies. But there's people that believe this stuff. This is what the devil does. Because the difference today is, he says, my spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. We have his word, we have his spirit, and his spirit will bear witness with our spirit. And he does with mine all the time. His spirit bears witness with my spirit that I'm the child of God. His spirit bears witness with my spirit, even when I'm preaching and teaching. So understand today, there is the truth. And that's what we're talking about. And the disciples, a little confused, then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he says unto us? A little while, and you shall not see me again. A little while, you shall see me, because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, what is this he saith? A little while, we cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while, and you shall not see me again, a little while, you shall see me, Verily, verily, I say unto you that you will weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned to joy. See, the world will rejoice, especially the Jews, that he's dead. And they're going to be sorrowful. But when he resurrects from the dead, they're going to be turned to joy. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And you now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man takes from you. And in that day, that's after his resurrection and ascension, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father my name, he will give it unto you. Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Now see, that's the other thing. As Christians, we can ask. But remember, we want to abide in him. Put these things in context. These things I have spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. And in that day you shall ask in my name, and I shall not say unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. And I came from the Father, and am come into the world again, and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. And the disciples said to him, Lo, now thou speakest plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now we are sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest from God. And Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, and yea, is now come, that you shall be scattered. Now that's that shepherd being smitten when he is taken to the cross, and the flock is going to scatter. Every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And that's when he faces the dark hour of the crucifixion, and all of that torment going up to that. And that's the beatings and everything else. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now see, he's telling this to them just before they're going to be smitten and scattered, and they're going to be really afraid. But see, today, we can look back on this, and we know he's been resurrected, and we know because of his Spirit and his Word and him revealing himself to us. And we have peace. But see, we also have tribulation in the world. But see, his peace can keep us. And that's why this all goes back, and that's the end of John 16. We're in John chapter 17. And but at any rate, he's overcome the world. He's given us peace. And there is tribulation everywhere. There's troubles and trials. And see, this is why you and I, we can look today and say, yeah, there are those things, but the Lord overcame. This is so important. And that's why we don't want the troubles to be such where we give up, where we think, oh, it's just too much. It's not too much. We will make it. He will be with us. He will not allow us to be tempted above that we're able, but will with that temptation make a way to escape so that we may bear it. We're in the world. We're not of the world. We abide in him, and his words abide in us. We walk in his light as he is in the light. And we can go to the Father and ask things in his name. And the Father will gladly do them because we're his children. The Lord has not only brought us unto heaven, but he's brought our Father and our God to us. And this is where it is today. Father, we thank you for your word and for your Spirit. Lord, bless your people as they hear this. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word in Jesus' name. Okay, Tower.
Okay. Boy, that is just nothing but encouragement and strength and power.
It is. I love those chapters.
Oh, I do too.
That's why I tell them when they read, you know, and I like all of John, but chapters 10 through 18 are the ones I tell people all the time. Those are the ones you need to focus on.
Yeah, that's true.
And there's a lot of others to focus on in John. John 7. I mean, there's a lot. But for just basic understanding of abiding and being in the Lord, those are the ones you want.
Yes, amen.
Because he's summing up what he's been doing. He's getting them prepared to be on their own. And we're not done yet. We're coming to some of the best things he has yet to say. Some of the things you do not want to miss as far as prayers and things that will reveal things to you. That it's just, you don't want to miss it.
That's right. That's right. So next week, be sure to join us for part 10 of that, of John.
And that's why we're in the world and maybe going to hell in a handbasket, but we're not one of them.
That's right. Amen. I'm glad for the hope we have in Christ. I just don't want to be without him.
Nope. And see, this is the key. We have a spirit. His spirit will bear witness with us that we're a child of God.
Amen.
Understand that, folks. So that's why you abide in him and his words. That's the Spirit of God will reveal that you're his child. That's what the Comforter is called the Comforter for. And he'll give you direction. He will teach you. And when you speak, it'll be him that speaketh. It'll be the Spirit of your Father. Okay.
That's right. Well,
we got to say goodbye.
Okay, thank you for joining us tonight. We love you. We pray for you. God bless you. Thank you for all you do for the King. And be sure to join us tomorrow night for Sound the Shofar, part 2 of Peter's Epistle, Born Again by Incorruptible Seed. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow. We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.
Lowe's knows you're the pro who does it right to find more ways to save because your business depends on it. We do it right, too, with savings every day, plus even more deals during our Spring Black Friday sale. Get $40 off 5-gallon buckets of select paint and stains via Lowe's gift card rebate. Buy 3 or more Purdy brushes and get 15% instant savings. And get up to 35% off select appliance special values. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Paint and stain offer valid through 4/10. Purdy and appliance offers valid through 4/17. Exclusions apply. See store for details. U.S. only.
Every legend is built. This one starts with a frame. We raised a great stature and gave it a name. The BMW X7. It's the biggest one yet. Fitting power and style, the best you can get. An all-leather interior, its luxury shows. So we kept it right up for all of 3 rows. With its dynamic driving, you chase your desires. The true mark of this legend is how it inspires. The first ever BMW X7. Make every day legendary.
Exceptional offers through BMW Financial Services at bmwnyc.com. BMW of Manhattan. Driven by more.